Here we go again. The American bishops support Agenda 2030, even as the culture of death tears our common home in half. In the name of equity and inclusion, lawmakers in Canada demand that the mentally ill be allowed to die just like everyone else. Plus, Russell Brand and Candace Owens get baptized. And why was this priest smiling on his way to his own execution?
Tonight, the Kingship of Christ and the Great Christian Reset.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Matt. This is The Remnant Underground, the World Health Organization Pandemic Preparedness Treaty. Before we get started tonight, let's just a little reminder. Now, this treaty is coming up for a vote from participating countries all over the world on the 27th of May. As you'll remember, what the idea behind this is to be able to have the World Health Organization, which completely messed up COVID, obviously, to give them the power to tell us when they're going to lock us down over climate change emergencies or any other kind of emergency. It's going to deal with abortion. It's going to deal with gun control. It's going to deal with climate lockdowns, the whole bit, right? It's coming up for a vote on the 27th, as I say. But the good news, it's just a little bit of good news, tiny bit of good news. We always say down here, you got to keep fighting, and people really are fighting back hard on this one. This thing has been thrown up against the wall by so many powerful people now that our little buddy, Dr. Ted, is reduced to, you know, pretty much just watering the thing down amendment after amendment before the vote to try to get it passed. Now, that's good news. He's even claiming, as we showed you last week, that it's not going to affect sovereignty, of course, that everyone's going to be free to do whatever they want. So, of course, the natural question is, why do we need the stupid treaty then if it's not going to affect sovereignty and everybody gets to do what they want? So we know they're lying. How do we know? Because their lips are moving. But the good news, as I say, is at least they've got them on the ropes a little bit. And so I would ask, you know, we do our part. Share that video that I've talked about down here. Maybe Walter will throw a little bit of it up on the screen here. The link is right down here, which is really breaks it all down. I think, what is it, Walter, about 30-minute video, something like that?
Yeah.
About 30 minutes, and it kind of breaks it down exactly what we're facing here. It's going to change life as we know it, if it goes through, no doubt about it. And as it stands right now, the latest version, despite all the amendments, is still calling for experimental vaccines to be rolled out, of course, liability shields for the World Health Organization, of course, censorship of media, anybody who takes issue with it, with anything they say, anything they do about any lockdown in the future, you're going to be censored, right? Okay, so that's all in the works. And the whole point of all this is to control human beings, to control plant life, to control animals, to control ecosystems, all of it. The World Health Organization wants to be in control of all of it in the name, of course, of keeping us healthy and safe. Okay. So at this point, the treaty could pass. People say, well, it's not going to pass because Congress, when it comes to the states, Congress is already fighting hard. They're going to get behind. But that, I think, is kind of wishful thinking. If this thing, if they decide to go through, the whole treaty could pass by the executive order of our commander-in-chief, President Joe Biden.
Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years. Four more years.
For the last time, anything you put on that prompter, he will read.
It's all so canned that you just can't believe it. And then he just flashes those brilliant white teeth, right? And that's going to make everything normal. It's just so fake and gay. Fake and gay. But on the other hand, I mean, in the same speech, old Joseph Biden did say something with which I am in total agreement. Here he is.
In a sense, I don't know why we're surprised by Trump. How many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted?
Oh, poor Joe. It's just so wonderful. You really got to kind of wonder now how long it's going to be before they just give up on this experiment, which has got to be so embarrassing for all of them, and just go ahead and AI the President of the United States out to the nation whenever they feel like it. I mean, it's already happening for comic value, but can you tell the difference?
I know I wasn't your first choice in 2020. Hell, I wasn't my first choice. You think I like getting a syringe of B12 plunged in my ass every morning just to stay alert enough to run this country? But these are the cards we're dealt, Jack. I'm going to be so hopped up on goofballs and cocaine, I'm going to make Don Jr. look normal. Reality is I can't step down and let who? Kamala run? Have you seen her as Veep? Get the f*** out of here. And if you can't tell this is an AI-generated voice, then lots of luck in your senior year.
So they're telling me that wasn't Biden. Yeah, and obviously it wasn't Biden because it was a little too sharp for Joe, for Joe Biden. You know, but it is funny. You wonder if they're going to start doing that. Maybe they already are. You wonder if people like George Soros and Pope Francis and Klaus Schwab and Joe Biden are ever going to actually die. Do they have to die? Or will they just be transhumanized and, yeah, AI'd into infinity or whatever? But really, it reminds me of the old, you know, the biblical question of Pilate, quid est veritas? You know, what is truth? And who knows? At this point, in the age of enlightenment, 2024, truth on every level is buried beneath a tsunami of artificial intelligence, right? And what is artificial intelligence doing on the practical level that we see every day? Well, obviously, it's making morons of us all.
Nope.
The plank is up, Peter Pan.
Boy.
Now, I suppose that's got some comic value, but yikes. There we are, friends. There's where your Age of Enlightenment left us all. A perfect metaphor for the most dumbed down society in human history. That's us. Congratulations. Way to go. We live in a society where the enlightened ones need GPS and computers, AI for everything, GPS to find their way to the public restrooms. Only once they get there, they don't know which one to use.
The worst thing ever is like public bathrooms, but I feel like within like 5 to 10 years, like there's going to be gender neutral bathrooms everywhere, and like we're not going to have to worry about that. And it's not like I am afraid to like go in whatever bathroom because like people are going to look at me weird. It's like I'm afraid to get killed or harassed in a public bathroom.
To whom the gods would destroy, they would first make insane. We don't even know what sex we are anymore in this enlightened age. And the thing is, you say, well, you know, we've got our protections, a family, well, the family's getting blown apart. Friends, well, you know, the polarization, everybody's being polarized, everybody's fighting with each other, the internet's tearing us apart. Well, we got the church. Well, actually, no, we don't.
An aggressive goal with an aggressive plan as the Lexington Diocese lays it all out today, hoping to reach net zero emissions by 2030.
On this day, we take this important step forward.
Following the lead from Pope Francis, the Diocese of Lexington is stressing that its parishioners need to take the lead on carbon neutrality.
Work together to preserve, protect, and allow to flourish our common home.
Who do you think you're impressing? Who's your audience? Don't you see? Do you look at your own numbers? Do you see who's actually reading your tweets and whatnot? Nobody cares. So why do you persist in this? Because you know what? What we're doing here in the real world, like I'm a father of 7 kids, you know, in the real world, we're looking at our common home, and guess what? It is going to hell, Your Excellency. Have you noticed?
So what is this substance called and how did it reach the people? A lethal substance known as trank is rapidly spreading on the streets of LA. This substance is turning humans into actual zombies. At first, it seemed like just another cruel trick of fate in a city that had seen its share of struggles. But this substance was different. It didn't just alter minds, it turned the users into something else entirely. A new breed of humanity, stripped of reason, empathy, and humanity.
I can just barely watch that anymore. And that's happening all over the place. We see it here in Minneapolis, little old flyover land, Minneapolis, St. Paul, everywhere. But Bishop Stowe, following the example of Pope Francis, he's got himself a plan.
Work together to preserve, protect, and allow to flourish our common home.
Just barely believe he's serious because you kind of go, my goodness, if he thinks that's actually working with people, the church is in the hands of people who are 1,000% out of touch with people living in the real world. You know, I guess it makes sense. This is the same guy who made COVID vax mandatory, was canning his officials, Catholic people working in his own chancery office if they didn't get vaxed. He was also, I think, among the very first now to rush right on out there and shut down the Latin Mass for the sake of unity, because he was busy unifying with these people.
Dear members of the LGBT ministry and supporters in the Diocese of Lexington, I'm happy to greet you during this Pride Month and happy to say a word of gratitude to you for the way that you strive to integrate your faith and your identities as people of God, as children of God.
And of course, not surprisingly, homosexual blessings, according to Bishop Stowe, are a sign of God's approval of what he calls queer couples. So remember when people were saying, Pope Francis was just calling for, you know, the blessing, just general blessings of people who identify as this one, not as the couples. Well, he comes right out and calls them queer couples getting blessed are a sign of God's approval. But he is going to save not the babies, not the family, not the church. But Bishop Stowe is going to save the world.
He hopes that the church's influence locally, nationally, and globally will make it a much easier process of reaching this goal within 5.5 years.
That's 2030. So in other words, the good bishop is 100% all in with Bill Gates and Agenda 2030, obviously.
We all need to support the global goals.
And guess what's coming? Guess what's coming now that they've clearly hoisted the white flag and signaled to the world, to the movers and shakers of the world, all of whom are Christophobes, that they will comply. This is what's next.
Since 2016, at this Toronto hospital and others, thousands of Canadians have ended their irremediable physical suffering through MAID, medical assistance in dying. But not those with mental illness.
I think we were ready to do this.
Dr. Donna Stewart has been assessing psychiatric patients for decades and is disappointed that Ottawa has delayed expanding MAID a second time. She says exceedingly few would meet the criteria for grievous intolerable suffering, but they deserve to be treated equitably.
I think there's a lot of stigma against mental illness. It's easier to see somebody with a physical illness understand their suffering. But I think we have to accept that people with mental illness suffer just as much as people with physical illness.
Now, how is that for some bizarre New World Order irony? That in the name of equity and inclusion, failing to allow for the extermination of the mentally ill Canadians constitutes discrimination against the mentally ill. How about that? How twisted? How twisted can this get? So, you know, it's not even a question anymore over whether or not it is moral to exterminate sick people. Not even a question about that. It's just a question of which ones and when now up in Canada. So for us, again, this is literally a matter of self-defense. Like trying to get the Catholic Church to wake up, the moral authority of the world to wake up, trying to get the bishops of the Catholic Church to, for example, boycott the Synod on Synodality come October 2024, which is exactly what every single one of them should do. Some of these measures are actually self-defense, not just of the souls of our children, but self-defense of their lives, defending their lives in the very near future. This stuff with euthanasia, we're not talking a five-year time frame. It's happening right now. In fact, over at remnantnewspaper.com right now, Angeline Tan has an excellent article that I would advise, put a link down here. It's a little depressing. Well, it's not so depressing because she talks about the pushback against euthanasia as well, which is so important. Mm-hmm. But she notes something that's should be rather terrifying. Euthanasia advocates, she says, in Canada and in the Netherlands are predators. They're predatory. They are going after sick, vulnerable and aged people. She points out that Canada permits the murder of babies and infants under its medical assistance in dying program, the so-called MAID program. On February 1st of this year, she points out, a new Dutch law legalized the killing of terminally ill children, ages 1 to 12. Let that sink in for a second. They can kill mentally ill people, including kids, as long as they can convince them that that's the only way to stop the pain. You see? So you may think all of this stuff with, I don't know if I'm a boy or a girl or a cis or somewhere in between, I'm depressed, you may think that's all very woke and avant-garde. I think it's the stuff eventually which could prove a mental sickness that would allow people to just get wiped out. If you can't figure out if you're a boy or a girl, well, we have an idea. We can make it stop. We can stop the pain. See, they're making people crazy, right? They're making them crazy. They're giving them these conditions as little kids until they grow up into these poor, pathetic, mixed up, mentally ill people. And then they say, well, you know what? There's something we can do about that. Here's a little syringe that'll help. That's the world in which we live, and it's getting worse. In 2010, only two people in the Netherlands opted for euthanasia on mental health grounds. In 2019, 68 opted for euthanasia. In 2023, 138 people killed themselves legally because of depression and other mental illnesses. Can you believe that? Now, is it really voluntary? Is this voluntary? Even if it is voluntary, it's a horrific state that would allow this. But is it really voluntary when we're talking about people who are already suffering from mental health problems? I mean, do you remember COVID? Those who were too mentally challenged, you might remember, to meet the and understand the merit, or meet the requirements and understand the merits of wearing face masks all the time, indoors, whatever, outside, didn't matter. They were forced to wear them, right? They forced us to wear those. The government forced us. And if you resisted, well, there was something wrong with you. You could go to jail for that, right? You were not healthy mentally. If you were too paranoid, you remember, paranoid, to get the vax and all the boosters, well, then you got fired from your job by state order. In other words, they forced you to take medications. Why? Because Big Brother knew what was best for you. And if you didn't want to take those, well, there was something wrong with you. You were not following the science. You were a megalomaniac. You were mentally ill. You see where this is going? So think about it. What do you think is going to constitute mental illness in the very near future? Homeschooling your kids? Why? Why do you want to do that? Are you some kind of a nut job? You want to homeschool your kids? You're going to teach them Christian morality? That's wrong. You're crazy for teaching your children Christian morality. You're not all there. You're mentally unstable. Or even attending a Latin Mass. Why would you do that? Even the Pope suggests that you're a little bit off if you want to attend Latin Masses. Even the Pope. Basically saying, yeah, we got a lot of mental illness in the church, trying to fix it, but geez, a lot of it. Owning a firearm, yeah, that could be a problem, right? And so people say, well, it's never going to happen. Never going to happen. Francis is against euthanasia, and he will, and the Vatican will save us from this. Really? Do you mean like how Francis and the Vatican saved us, saved marriage, saved us from gay marriage, saved marriage between one man and one woman? Is that what you mean? You jump in there like the knight on the white horse and save us? Because that didn't work out so well, did it? So how do you think he's going to do on euthanasia? When after all, there's a climate crisis affecting Mother Earth, our common home. He's busy. He's a busy guy. He's got to save the common home. How is he going to save us from these euthanasia freaks? When you first let them come in and kill the old faith, which is what has happened over the past 50, 60 years especially, you let them kill the faith, what the people believe, it leads to the death of souls, right? To the death of souls. And now it's only natural that after they get to that point, if you let them kill your soul, they're going to come for your body. And that's exactly what we're seeing now. The bodies of individuals, the body of our country, our borders are coming for everything. The physical reality now of life.
We've all noticed that there seems to be more tragic stories every day of young people, especially young men, dropping dead. And now the FDA is warning of a catastrophic drop in U.S. life expectancy. In the first 9 months of this year, 158,000 more Americans died unexpectedly than in all of 2019. And my next guest is sounding the alarm, President and Chief Medical Officer of the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, Dr. Pierre Corey,
Friends, if you're watching us on YouTube right now, you're going to have to go over to remnant-tv.com to finish this section for obvious reasons. If you're watching us on remnant-tv.com, well, then let's continue.
Are you seeing incidents of individuals who have compromised immunity and other problems that you believe are directly related to multiple COVID-19 shots?
There's not even a question that that is occurring. I mean, there's really good science to explain why that's occurring. I'm seeing it clinically in my practice. You're seeing it in these reports from around the world of these sudden, you know, white lung syndromes, everyone's sick and entering hospitals. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're in the wake of a global mass vaccination campaign, and people are not recognizing. We've known for years that, for instance, flu vaccines increase your risk of other respiratory viruses. And right. And now we're seeing this whole world that got vaccinated. And, you know,
we'll have to.
It's not surprising.
If they're right, well, the Catholic Church doesn't get a pass. Do you remember what the Catholic Church did? Do you remember how Pope Francis and the bishops contributed to this crisis by forcing their own flocks to be vaccinated? I remember thinking, man, these guys never do anything. They never say anything about the mass apostasy, you know, what John Paul called a silent apostasy. They never say anything about that. It seemed like they lost their ability to communicate or to enforce. But wow, during COVID, they were all Torquemadas. They were all incredible. They were so active. They were so outspoken, out there just bishoping, man, to get everybody vaccinated, everybody masked up, separated in the church. Do you remember? So when it came to following the orders of the New World Order, of the globalists, our bishops were on fire. But when it came to following the orders of Jesus Christ and the church and the things that strengthen the faith, no, missing in action. And the thing is, when it comes to what happened during the vaccination, during COVID, Operation Warp Speed, I never took the vax. Did you? Are you boasted? Did you go out and get your boosters? Remember that nonsense? You never did, right? Most people in this audience never got vaccinated. So we knew something was terribly wrong. What, are we geniuses? Are we prophets? Are we amazing human beings, great scientists? No. It was so obvious that something was very wrong with that quote-unquote vaccine. So, naturally, it seems to me that we, the sheep, are allowed to ask our shepherds, why didn't you know? Why didn't you know something was wrong? Something was at least very suspicious. Didn't you care? It was just more important for you to comply? Tell us, what was it? Maybe you had a good explanation. I'd like to know what it is. But now when you think, well, the bishops, and of course I'm talking about the majority of them, there are some fantastic bishops out there who took a strong stand, praise God. But the majority of them, they've learned their lesson, right? I mean, surely they're not going to follow the orders of Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab again, ever again, right?
Work together to preserve, protect, and allow to flourish our common home.
Oh. So it is going to happen again. When this treaty that I talked about at the top of the show, the World Health Organization's Pandemic Preparedness Treaty, if that goes through, we can count on the bishops then to support climate lockdowns, 15-minute cities. Is that it? They're just going to keep on complying? And yet, as I say, there are these folks on the internet that are complaining about rad trads running their mouths too much and being more Catholic than. Yes, we're more Catholic than these guys. We also don't threaten anybody's children. And we're wondering why we're being threatened, why our children are being threatened by bishop compliance, bishops complying with this regime. It's like every bishop complying with the Nazi regime or complying with the Stalinist regime. We have a right to ask why that is. And obviously now, there is no, absolutely no moral leadership coming from the Catholic Church. They've all gone woke.
I'm sorry that the church has not been as welcoming as it should be in many cases. I'm sorry that the issue of sexual orientation has become so divisive in our church and our community. Rather than expressing the compassion of Jesus and recognizing how he always reached out to those who were on the fringes and on the margins.
This is a mission that leads everybody to hell. And I have come to learn that while homosexuality is part of my biography, it is not part of my nature. The world that we live in, our anti-Christian age, disagrees. It believes once gay, always gay, along with a host of other lies. Indeed, five lies of our anti-Christian age have coiled their way from the world to the church. And what are the five lies? Well, we just covered one of them. Homosexuality is normal. The second lie is that pagan spirituality is kind and inclusive. The third lie is that feminism is good for the church and the world. These lies, which have entered the church and the Christian college, have one thing in common. They discourage repentance of sin, and they encourage the pride of victimhood.
Don't you think that now more than ever before, we need to get out there? Like, we got to get out of the little ghetto, in a little, underneath our cots where we're so confident that we're right, and we got it all figured out, and we're going to save ourselves. We got to take that out, don't we? Don't we have a responsibility to take it out into the public square to do something about it, to raise awareness, to raise the standard of Christ the King in front of a dying world? Like, this is your hope. This is what you're looking for. Isn't that our job now? It seems like it is. So we talk about Russell Brand, and people get all upset about that. He's a fake. He's a fraud. Ever get tired of that? just judging everybody's a fake, and it's so silly. It's so easy. It might even be true. Maybe that's what he is. Let's find out. Let's go find out. Wouldn't that be fun? What these guys are? Because I'm not really seeing fake and fraud so much as I'm seeing people who are absolutely destitute of moral and spiritual leadership, and they're just clawing. Like I said last time, clawing in the darkness, trying to find a way out. I don't think that makes them fakes and frauds. That makes them kind of like everybody else. It makes them diabolically disoriented who need a hand, doesn't it? And isn't that what we always say that we're here to do? We're the ones who have kept held fast to the old faith. Well, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to take it out and share it with people? Or are we just going to keep it for ourselves in our little elitist clubs? And Russell Brand, he's going to be baptized on Sunday. But he said something in this video that I'm going to show you, while he was explaining why he wants to get baptized. He said something that, ironically enough, we've been saying down here for years. Here's what he said.
This Sunday, I'm taking the plunge. I'm getting baptized. I know a lot of people are sort of cynical about the increasing interest in Christianity and the return to God. But to me, it's obvious. As meaning deteriorates in the modern world, as our value systems and institutions crumble, all of us become increasingly aware that there is this eerily familiar awakening and beckoning figure that we've all known all of our lives within us and around us. And for me, it's very exciting.
Now, he's talking about Christ, of course. He's lived through the chaos. He's been a part of the chaos all of his life. He's looking for the answer, which is Christ. Last week, we showed him praying the rosary in front of millions of his followers. And people who normally say the rosary is the most powerful weapon in the world are upset about that. Well, he's a fraud. He's a fake. Why is he praying the rosary? He doesn't get to pray our rosary unless he's like us.
Holy Mary, Mother of God.
He's praying the rosary. He introduced millions to the rosary. Wow. Probably helped out a lot of people. But he knows, these guys know that something is missing, they know that Christ is missing, and they're looking for him. Maybe we can help find him. Wouldn't that be fun? Because the question is, who else is going to lead these guys lovingly back into the light? Francis? As I said, he's really busy with the climate crisis. The Bishop of Lexington, Kentucky? No, he and Bill Gates are working out Agenda 2030. They don't have time for Russell Brand or anybody like that, right? So who else is going to do it? So don't you see, friends? We're all living in a gulag, so to one extent or another. And we've got to try to bring the light of Christ into this darkness and to the folks around us who are looking for it, who are blind, who are lost. This is what Catholics have always tried to do. Again, even in prison.
Father Martin Pascual, born in Spain, joined the priesthood at an early age. When the Spanish Civil War began, he took all of the consecrated hosts from the chapel to go into hiding. When he discovered his dad had been arrested, he left his hiding place to go save him. Unfortunately, the committee discovered he was a priest and immediately imprisoned him, where he spent his remaining time ministering to other prisoners, hearing confessions and distributing the Eucharist he had rescued. When the time of his execution came, Father Pascual refused to turn his back to his executioners. They asked if he had any last wishes. He replied he wished to only give them his blessings so that God would not impute to them the madness they were about to commit. Just before getting shot, he shouted, "Long live Christ the King."
We just see this with so many heroes of our faith, that the thing that sustained them was the kingship of Christ. That the last thing they wanted on their lips as they were dying was, "Long live Christ the King." That's how important it is. That's always been the bedrock of the traditional Catholic movement as well, more so even than the Mass, because it includes the Mass. But everything is about the proclamation of the social kingship of Jesus Christ. So some of you last week asked, "Hey, what does Candace Owens have to do with the Catholic Identity Conference, the Christ the King Conference, which is going to take place out in Pittsburgh in September? So what's she got to do with it? That seems weird, you know? She's not been a Catholic more than 2 minutes, you know?" Well, first off, I invited Candace Owens to speak at the Catholic Identity Conference long before she'd announced her conversion to the Catholic faith. It seems rather providential, in fact, that we had invited her to speak a long time, weeks ago, to speak at the Catholic Identity Conference, and suddenly she announced that she's been baptized and converted to the Catholic faith. I see God's hand in that, right? So I invited Candace Owens, the non-Catholic. I'm going to repeat that because a lot of people didn't get it. I invited her when she was not a Catholic to the Catholic Identity Conference, because that's what we do. We're trying to forge this alliance. I really hope that, and I know it was great. So many of you absolutely understood what we were trying to do, what we are trying to do, and you supported us in that. Thank you. The vast majority of you did. So we invited her when, and the reason we invited her was because she was the one who put the social kingship of Jesus Christ, and I think most of you will agree with this, she put the social kingship of Jesus Christ back on the front page like no pope has done in decades. And I would say like no traditional Catholic, including myself, has even come close to. That's the power and the influence that this girl had, this young woman had. And by the way, she's suffered, and there's a lot of doors that have closed for her, I'm sure, since that happened. And then after she proclaimed the social kingship of Jesus Christ, you know what she did? She doubled down. She didn't freak out, back down, and apologize to anyone. She doubled down. And as a result, as we all watched, she lost a lot of prestigious media position, right? Her job at the Daily Wire, for example, gone, because she would not back down. And that's a big deal. That's talking to millions of people every time you're up. So obviously, this is when this woman attracted my attention. Like, wow, for a change, there's somebody who's willing to lose a lot by proclaiming the kingship of Christ. We've seen a lot of people trying to gain something by Viva Cristo Rey and all this, you know, on YouTube and trying to gain some sort of notoriety. She was willing to lose everything for it. Interesting, right? And then shortly thereafter, I find out, because I didn't know much about her, I find out that she'd already baptized her three little babies. I think she has three babies under five, so she's off to the races. She'd baptized her three little babies into the Catholic faith of our fathers. And friends, that just bespeaks a commitment that rises far above anything that could possibly pass for grifting, which is a lot of people accuse her of that. Grifting for to what end? Baptizing your kids, becoming baptized, proclaiming Christ King, converting to the Catholic faith. For what? Under Pope Francis? Really? You think that's going to open doors for you? Long story short, I saw in this woman the courage that I'd seen as a young boy, the courage that I'd seen in traditional Catholic pioneers 50 years ago. I watched them. I grew up with them. Watched them, men and women who put everything on the line for truth, for Christ, for the church, because they had to, in conscience, do so, you know? And it just seemed to me to be a no-brainer that we would invite her to speak, that we would go out and meet her halfway, see what could be, what kind of an alliance could be forged here, right? I don't know why anybody would question this. This is what we must do. This is like, how many times have I said, we're scanning the horizon constantly,
constantly for any sign of anyone waking up, especially people with influence. Right? This is not about us. This is not about our liturgical preferences. This is about survival. Survival of our children, the survival of our way of life. And people are lost everywhere, and you scan the horizon looking for allies. That's the point and purpose of this. Please, God, send us more. Send us recruits. Send us reinforcements. So we can stay on and fight. That's what Unite the Clans is all about. So if someone with a following, like Candace Owens, if she agrees to stand, it goes both ways. I mean, she's taken a step down as far as the world's concerned, right? If she's willing to stand with us, with this little remnant of believers, little tratty cat believers, right? She's willing to stand with us. You know? She's got nothing to gain from it, nothing personally to gain. Well, that's the sort of thing that gives our globalist friends wake-up screaming nightmares. Because what if that becomes contagious with lots of people who are out there lost and looking and beginning to see the light? Can you imagine what happens? What if? Just what if this Catholic counter-revolution were to seriously take off, even in the mainstream? Isn't that what we're shooting for? For the sake of souls? For the sake of restoration? For the sake of our children's future? What if that happens? What then? So I can just come out and do this show or do the Sharp Pilgrimage or do the CIC and just cater to our little group of friends, our little choir, the converted. But what's the point of that? You don't need me for that. What's our strategy? What's our long-term strategy? You see, the Catholic Identity Conference is a conference for adults who want to become more engaged in serious Catholic action, friends. It's an event where polarization has no quarter, and this is crucial. I'm talking about the polarization that is absolutely essential to the success of the enemy's war against the cross and against the church and against tradition. Polarize everybody. Don't let anybody talk. Don't ever put them in a situation where they can talk and find out and discover that they've got a lot in common, enough in common, in fact, to ally with one another and start a war. Right? That's what you do. Make sure they never talk to each other. Keep everybody isolated. I'm not that. We're not doing that. So something like the Sharp Pilgrimage, something like the Catholic Identity Conference, these are events where things that matter most can be openly discussed and we can strategize against the enemies of the cross. That's the whole point. That's the whole purpose. And you know what? We need help. We need help taking it out into the middle of the battlefield. And that's what we're doing. It doesn't mean we abandon our core beliefs as traditional Catholics. We will have three of the finest bishops in the church right now addressing the Catholic Identity Conference. And they're going to speak on the theological necessity of all men on earth proclaiming the social kingship of Jesus Christ. We'll leave that to them, the theological firepower. We got you covered. We're going to have priests at the Catholic Identity Conference who are going to make the case that the whole point and purpose now of the Latin Mass has always been, first and foremost, to save souls, but also, secondarily, to foster not some elite movement, not elitism, but rather to strengthen abandoned sheep, little people like us, in fact, millions of us worldwide, to strengthen us in faith, to strengthen us in hope, to strengthen us in charity, so that, please God, we will have the honor of being transformed, even us being transformed into soldiers of Jesus Christ the King, ready to fight, ready to ally ourselves with anyone who will stand with him in this darkest moment in human history. Does anyone doubt? There's never been a darker moment than this. Standing with Christ takes courage. And we're willing to stand with anyone who's got the courage to do it. So, what will Candace Owens, what will she have to say at these to traditional Catholics at the Catholic Identity Conference? You know what? It's really not so much what she will say. I'm sure it's going to be great. She's got a lot of experience now. She knows what it's like to be out there fighting. It's not so much what she's going to say, it's what she's already said. It's what she's already done. The example she's already shown, the courage she's already manifested. She has fearlessly proclaimed, friends, the one truth that matters more than anything else in this world today. Christ is King. That's what she said. And guess what? Millions heard her say it. And that cannot be unsaid, friends. And for that, I say, God bless Candace Owens and welcome to the front line.